But I love, too, that you didn't wait until the entire book was done to go, thank you, God. Like, every little step, we're going to thank you that I even sat down today because it's been one heck of a day.
Yes.
That's a really good thing that anybody can do.
I'm Susan Goss, and as a seasoned therapist of more than 15 years, I'm honored to have had the opportunity to gain so much wisdom from so many people and love passing that knowledge on to others. So join me and some of my favorite friends as we share some tangible truths with you.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Tangible Truth Podcast. We are so excited to do things a little bit different today. On this episode, we've got Angie back with us. Say hi, Angie.
Hi, guys.
And I should probably introduce myself. My name is Carrie, and I'm usually behind the scenes, but today I get to be in front of the microphone because we're going to spend the next little bit talking to Susan about her brand new book. You know, we've talked about it, and we know that it's for pre-order on Amazon right now, but we wanted to spend a little time asking Susan some questions and get a deep dive into what this new book about faith, love, forgiveness is all about. So Susan, let's start with, where did the idea for faith, love, forgiveness come from?
Well, first I want to just say, hey.
Hey,
what's up to Carrie and to Angie and to the listeners. So thank you for having me as a guest.
And have you ever been a guest on your own podcast?
Never. Never. This is kind of fun. So tell me again, what's the question?
The question was, where did the inspiration come from for the idea of a devotional journal based on the concept of faith, love, and forgiveness?
Okay, great question. Actually, it was brought to me by DaySpring, and they asked me to do this devotional on faith, love, and forgiveness. Now, the listeners are going to say, well, isn't that the name of the conference? And it really is the name of the conference, but the conference title came first, and then this devotional book. They love the name of the conference, but this is not just for the conference at all. It might be mentioned at the conference. One of the devotionals maybe might be mentioned, but it's not a quote conference book. They just loved the title. And so, as Carrie always says, the conference will be temporary. The book will be for longevity.
Forever.
Forever. It's the longevity. And so that's the answer. That's a quick answer. I want to talk more, but she'll probably ask me a lot of questions.
I do have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about this is I'm a big proponent in writing and getting your feelings out. And I noticed that a little bit different from your previous book, which is We're Still in This, where it's about 90 days to healthier relationships. This one is definitely leans more towards that journal aspect. And what I love is you have a lot of, and I cannot remember what you called them, but kind of like those deep dive questions. Mm-hmm. So from a therapeutic perspective, because we know you do a little sprinkling of that in everything, how important is that taking the time to write the answers to those? And why was it so important for you to have that journaling space in this one?
This whole devotional book is set up very well. They did an excellent job. I'll just go ahead and tell you the format because it leads itself to the answer to that question, if that's okay.
Sure.
They had me write a 500-word devotional for like 3 500-word devotionals on faith, same for love, and 3 500-word devotionals on forgiveness, then a 500-word devotional on all three of them at the end, like faith, love, and forgiveness. So then after every devotional, 7 pages of prompts to ponder with a scripture at the end. And the reason they're so important is because they're not yes or no answers. They make you really go to Jesus and ponder with him based on that 500-word devotional to look inside yourself and ask God how that relates to you as you grow together with him, because they're really not easy to answer, you know, right off the bat. And so there's growth that should take place for the individual that goes through this journal.
Yeah, that's awesome. One thing I think people ask a lot as a female writer, are you writing to only women or is this a devotional that really anybody can benefit from?
That is also a great question. Anybody. I had my husband read it before and he said, oh, my men's group can do this. This is awesome. So therefore, he also helped pick out the cover because he said, oh, this is awesome.
We can't make it too girly if we want the guys to take it into their Bible study.
Yeah. So even the cover looks like anybody can pick it up.
One thing, too, is this is going to be like asking you to pick out your favorite child. So you might not be able to do this. Is there a particular devotion or a particular question that either was your favorite or you feel like God taught you something through as you were writing this devotion?
That would be a difficult question sure about a favorite. But I will answer the second part about did God teach me something? He most definitely did teach me something because Dayspring gave me a pretty rigorous time frame to write it. So I just made the decision, number one, not to be like, I can't do this. I never thought that because I gave it to God immediately when they gave me this deadline because it really was a rigorous deadline this rubric that they gave me was also pretty rigorous. And so, well, you've seen it, mm-hmm. So you knew. And I love Dayspring and I love working with it. I have the best senior editor. I have the senior editor myself and it's such an honor to have her. She is magnificent and I love her. We love each other. It's wonderful. So I couldn't have better circumstances because I've got her to work with, but it left me to only go, God, I am going to be totally dependent on you. This is a God job.
It's a God-sized job.
Yes, this is a God-sized job. You're creative, so I'm asking you to be creative through me. I'm asking you to pen this book through me. This is your book. And so it did me. It grew me. It expanded my faith. He taught me so much about me, about who I was, and as far as yes, I can release to him. And I would write something and I would read it and I would rewrite it and I'd read it and I'd rewrite it and I'd read it until we got it right, you know, until it was where he wanted it to be. And so I used a lot of stories of other people in here to kind of really draw the reader in. And so it drew me in. I did a lot of research on other people's story from years and years ago. And then I also had therapeutic twist in some of them, which was always good. And then they also have a table. They decided to do a table of content on this because after they read it, they said this could easily be a Bible study.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a group.
Because it's 10 weeks, correct?
Yeah, because three
and then one.
And then that one, but they could, so you really could divide it, be creative, you know, you could divide it any way you want because there's three faith, three love, three forgiveness, but they're, you know, 7 days, pensive mm-hmm. prompts. You know,
prompts to ponder
for a week and then that devotional. So you can divide it up kind of however you want.
Yeah. So let's switch just from your book just for a second, because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who feel a calling in their heart to be a writer themselves. And I know in the beginning, before you did your first book, you were like, God, I can't write. Mm-hmm. I'm not a writer. I'm not, you know, fill in all the things Moses said mm-hmm. that I am not right here. Mm-hmm. So what advice can you give to writers who feel like God has laid something on their heart to write? Or create or whatever. What is some things that helped you in the beginning to release some of the, I don't know if fear is the right word, or the fear of saying the wrong thing, or maybe God hasn't called me to do it, or maybe it's the Moses thing where I'm not adequate. What helped you get over some of that?
Well, I basically just started writing. You know,
when in doubt, write it out, I guess.
Yes, when in doubt, write it out. That's and good. And my first one was Circle Talk. And when I wrote that, this is the second book I've written for Dayspring. The first one that I wrote was self-published. And I wrote that, and I read that the other day, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. It looks like a first grade primer. I mean, it's just, whoa. It looks awful. And so, you know, give yourself some grace, mm-hmm. because I've come so far.
I think that's good, yeah.
What I've learned is the more you write, the better you get.
Yeah.
The more you write, the better you get. And so just keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. You know, I write for a magazine, Celebrate Arkansas, and that gives me so much experience, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And again, the more you write, the better you write. And so, but I go back to those first and I'm just so.
It's like when you look back at your high school yearbook pictures and you thought you were the bomb and you go, why did I put my hair like that? Oh, yeah. Why did I wear that?
And another thing I did was I met with another author. I met with Holly Girth.
Okay.
Early on, I asked her to read that very first one, and to be honest, and she was, and I just so appreciate that. I took out when I edited that first one again. I took all the advice she gave me. Took out everything she told me. I mean, I had emojis, and I had.
Somehow I can't see that, but okay, that was before my time.
It was just ridiculous. So she was so helpful. Now, this was years and years ago, people. But anyway, I just really appreciated everything that she told me. And so I was so grateful because I'm a real learner. I love to learn. And so went from there. So that was good, getting wise counsel.
And haven't you spoken to Erwin as well?
I spoke to Erwin a little bit. Yes, Erwin McManus, because he writes all the time. Kind of his, but his was more, I didn't have him read my stuff. I asked him about his writing process, which was also helpful.
Yeah, definitely, to check out and see, because not everyone can process writing. Some people can sit and write full paragraphs. Mm-hmm. When I've written like fiction or stories, you know, I'm a post-it note girl. So I know these are the events I want to happen. And then I move them around until they're the right order. And then I start writing. Mm-hmm. So everybody kind of has that own thing. And I totally agree. Wise counsel and just write, mm-hmm. just keep writing and writing and writing. And eventually you'll go, ooh, That's what I meant to write. And then mm-hmm. you take that chunk and you expand on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've only got a couple more minutes. So we're going to do, this might not be a good question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So we're going to ask, it's a two-part question. What is your favorite part about writing a book? And what is your least favorite part about writing a book?
Well, I'll start with least favorite. least favorite is the technology, you might guess. Okay. Because the technology, you know, Dayspring uses certain programs and my computer will use a certain program. And then the in between, I have to call you, Carrie, and say, can you put it in their program to date to this? That gets really complicated really quickly for me. And so, because I've gotten really good on a lot of different programs, and I have to, because to survive all of that, but my senior editor will want it in this program, Dayspring at large will want it in another program. I'm using another program. Carrie and I use Google Doc, which I love. And then, you know, and I'm thinking, why doesn't everybody just use Google Doc?
Do you feel like everybody's talking in like five different languages?
Yes, it's just like, what is going on? So that's not my favorite part. And then my favorite part about writing is, of course, I'm going to say is the finished product, but the reward is immediate. Like when I finish a devotional, I'm it's just like a gift. It's like, my gosh, God, we did it. I mean, this is...
you feel like giving God a high five.
Yes. It's just like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thanked him so many times. I cannot tell you. And I praised his name and I thanked him. I thanked him. I thanked him. And I'd run downstairs because my desk is upstairs. And I'd say, praise God, you know, Steve, you know, we did another one. God did it. He did it, you know.
I love that.
And so it was just...
But I love, too, that you didn't wait until the entire book was done to go, thank you, God. Like, every little step, we're going to thank you that I even sat down today because it's been one heck of a day.
Yes.
You know, thank you that we finished this. Thank you that we picked the colors finally for the cover because we went through a few of those options.
Yes.
But I love, I think that's a really good thing that anybody can do to, you know, thank God in the little stuff.
Yes.
You don't have to finish the book. You can be like, God, I wrote one, but I wrote period, because you were saying to be a better writer, you have to write.
Yes.
Be thankful when you sit down and write a page.
Yes.
Be thankful when you're reading and God gives you a scripture and you write a paragraph.
Yes.
I think that's a really good point for whether you're a writer or whether you're anybody.
Yeah, I had no idea that I could be a writer and that he allowed this opportunity has grown me, and I've been so thrilled about it. He opened this door and I jumped right in.
That's amazing.
Know? Yeah.
Well, we are out of time in this podcast, but Susan, thank you for being a guest on your own podcast.
Yeah, I've loved it. Thank you for the opportunity.
And we are super excited. So the book officially releases, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's June 17th.
Yes.
And it is currently on pre-order on Amazon. I will make sure to put that link down in the description to make it easy for you guys to do. And before we go, Susan, just talk just really briefly about how important pre-orders are for authors.
Yes, pre-orders. I learned this too, because I didn't do it on my first book, A Day Spring, but this one, they're doing it. And they say pre-orders for Amazon, the more pre-orders you get, the higher Amazon places the book. And so it's a big deal for a book to have a lot of pre-orders, because the both the publishing company looks to see how many pre-orders and then see how many placements they put in stores. This book will not just be on Amazon. It'll be at Barnes & Noble, you know, hoping to get it in Hobby Lobby, different places. The other one was in Cracker Barrel, places like that. But the more pre-orders, those people will look at Amazon also to see, oh, well, this book, how well has it done?
How popular is it?
Yes. So pre-orders are a big deal.
Pre-orders equal popularity, which equals publication.
Yes. So thank you for your pre-orders in advance.
Absolutely.
And order them for your family and friends.
Yes. You know, everybody's going to need something to read while they're on vacations and stuff. Yes. And while you're at home with your kids for the summer. So I'll put that link down in the show description. And thank you guys so much for being with us. And we're super excited. And we're so proud of you, Susan, for putting your heart and soul and being used by God with this book once again with Day Spring. And we hope you guys will go check it out, and we will see you guys on the next podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm very humbled by it all. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tangible Truth Podcast, part of the KLRC Podcast Network.